a tragic day, devastating day. September 13th of 2006 was one we'd just rather forget. How horrible it was. On that day, something that had been recognized and around since like 1930, it's gone now, devalued, demoralized. Yeah, of course, I'm talking about the planet Pluto. You see, Pluto had been recognized as being a planet back in 1930, but the Astronomy Union in Prague in the year 2006 got together and they voted to devalue Pluto. It was no longer considered a planet. Bad news, huh? I know. Heartbreaking. Do you know one thing that came out of that? In the year 2006, there was a new word added to the dictionary. Merriam-Webster added the word Plutoed to the English language. So Pluto became what was once a proper noun, right? The name of a planet. Now it becomes to devalue, to demean something. So it's Plutoed. And we know what Plutoed is all about, don't we? Because you may have been Plutoed. You may have been devalued. May not have been the right fit. Maybe at a job. You know, you're just not the right person. It's just not working out for you. And we feel devalued. We feel demoted. Suppose we feel like that planet Pluto. We feel like we're worthless. But you know, that's the reason why Jesus became incarnated. That's why God stepped down from his heavenly throne and became a human being, is because we are Plutoed. Or we will be, if we haven't been. If you haven't felt devalued and derailed in the past, I'll venture to guess in 2018 or in the future, you will. You will at some point in time feel Plutoed, but that's the very reason why God became a human being, why God became incarnate is the word. And that's what we want to look at this morning, is the incarnation of Jesus, God becoming a human being. And in our gospel reading there from John 1:1-14, let's get a little context as to what this gospel, how it starts out. In verses 1-5, it's sort of an explanation, if you will, of who Jesus, of who God is. In the beginning was the Word, and that's a capital W-O-R-D, Word referring to, it's the Greek word logos, or we know it as Jesus. The Word. The Word was there when the world was made. Nothing was made in the world that has been made except through the Word. In other words, Jesus is eternal. Jesus wasn't created at Christmas. He became a human being at Christmas. He is eternal. Jesus is eternal, equal with God the Father and the Holy Spirit. He didn't come to be about all of a sudden 2,000 years ago at Christmas. He is eternal with God. And then verses 6-13. Of John chapter 1, is sort of the explanation of who Jesus is. John the Baptist came, and he explained, if you will, who this person was going to be, who this Christ, who this light of the world was going to be. He told who this Savior Jesus would be. He is the light of the world. He is the true Lamb of God. As Jesus was walking by, John the Baptist says, hey, there's the true Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And then in verse 14, we have what's called the incarnation. And that's just it's a fancy theological word for meaning God became one of us. He became a human to dwell among us. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word became flesh, verse 14 says. The Word became flesh to dwell among us. And that's what we're going to look at today. Because the world is full of Plutoed people. The Bible is full of Plutoed people. People who felt devalued. People who felt demoted. People who knew that Satan was out to destroy them. The world is full of those kind of people. And we are that kind of person, people as well. John chapter 4, we run across a woman at the well. Boy, was she a Plutoed person. Married 5 times, and the man she's living with now was not her husband. Boy, was she a Plutoed person. She had to come to get water at noontime in the heat of the day. John chapter 6, there's an invalid man who was invalid for 38 years, waiting by the pool of Bethesda for a miracle to happen. It's a Plutoed man waiting 38 years for a healing, for a miracle. There's John chapter 10, the lost sheep. The good shepherd Jesus comes. There's John chapter 11, Mary and Martha, Lazarus dies. They feel pretty Plutoed. And then finally, John chapter 19, Jesus pays the price for us Plutoed people as he suffers and dies for us. Yeah, the world, the Bible, is full of Plutoed people, and we are certainly among those. Well, let's look at just 6 words this morning. And the first ones are the Word. In John chapter 1, verse 14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word. We notice that the Word is capitalized. It means Jesus. It's the Logos in Greek. The Word, then, John is referring us back to way back to Genesis. In Genesis 1:1, how did God create the world? He created the world through his Word. And now that Word, that spoken Word, that Word, that reality, it came into existence. In the world, the Word dwells, has become now into existence. And the Word isn't this generic creation. The Word of God, those spoken words, that Word of God is there throughout the whole Old Testament, guiding the Old Testament people. 261 times in the Old Testament, the Word of the Lord is mentioned. It guides, it directs. It not only brought reality into the world, but it gives direction to his people. But hold on, there's more. The Word, that Word became flesh. The Word became flesh. Now, for sophisticated Greek and Roman people, that would have made no sense. That the Word, that God would be associated with flesh. A God is not supposed to be associated with flesh. The flesh is of the material world. The flesh is evil. The flesh gets wrinkled. The flesh gets old. The flesh gets moldy. The flesh decays away after time. But God becomes flesh for us. The Word became flesh. You see, God is, yes, concerned about our heart, about our soul, about our spirit, certainly. But God's concerned about our whole person as he becomes flesh for us. He cares what's on the inside, but he also cares about our bodies as well. He is concerned about our whole individual, about the whole person. But why did he do it? Why would God become one of us? Why would God become flesh? It's a simple answer. It's to sympathize with us. To sympathize with us Plutoed people. He became flesh. He became a human being in order to truly know what it's like to sweat, what it's like to bleed, what it's like to suffer, what it's like to get cut, what it's like to be whipped, what it's like to go through temptation. You see, Jesus became flesh in order so we have one who can truly sympathize with us, who has gone through everything that we go through in our life. We have a Savior who has done it as well. He has become flesh. But then an important point is that Jesus became flesh. It's an important word, became flesh. It doesn't say he transitioned into flesh. It doesn't say he changed into flesh. It doesn't say he morphed into flesh. It says he became flesh. Because if he changed or transitioned into flesh, that would leave behind what he formerly was. That he was God. But he became flesh. He kept his divinity. He kept his full godness and became a human, became flesh for us. So we know that he is 100% God and that he is 100% man, fully human, but keeping that divinity. And our second reading for this, or our reading for this morning from second chapter of Philippians, talks about what it's like for God to step down from that throne in heaven and become one of us. He did not count equality with God something to be grasped, but he emptied himself and became a servant and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross, stepping down from his eternal throne in heaven. God Almighty, the creator of the world, the Word became flesh. And it dwelt among us, dwells among us. Now, dwelt is an Old Testament word. The Christians in Jesus' day, in John's day, certainly would have recognized that as being an Old Testament term, where the tabernacle was where God dwelt. The tabernacle that was mobile with Moses and the Exodus, the people of Israel carried around the tabernacle where the presence of God truly was. That is where God dwelt. And then in the temple, the dwelling place of God was inside the Holy of Holies, the dwelling place of God. And so we can say that God has tabernacled now among us. He has come to dwell among us. And the Message Bible puts it this way. The Message Bible says that God has moved into our neighborhood. And I like that. God has stepped down from his throne in heaven and has moved into your neighborhood. He lives with you. And oh, what a terrible neighborhood we live in, huh? Oh, we may have our nice houses and nice cars, but the neighborhood is full of sin. It's full of corruption. And God steps down, perfect and holy. He steps down to become one of us. He steps down and moves into our neighborhood. And he resides in our hearts, in our neighborhood. Now, it's not just for a short time, but he resides full time. It's a full time residency that God has taken up in your heart. He doesn't just live there for a short time. He resides fully with us. When there's a new business that comes into a city, a lot of times they'll have a ribbon-cutting ceremony, and a political figure, either the mayor of the city or some other political official, will come and cut the ribbon and welcome the new business into town. But they don't stay very long. It's a short ceremony. And they're back doing their more important stuff. That's not how it is with God. When God comes to reside with us, when he comes to dwell with us, it's not this short-term ceremony. It's not just once at Christmas time where Jesus becomes incarnate and becomes a human being. He now dwells with us on a full-time basis. He dwells inside our heart as long as we live. He is dwelling inside of our heart through his Holy Spirit for full-time residency. So the Word became flesh, dwelt among us. Us, you and me, the people of Iran, the people of Russia, the people of Canada. God has come to dwell among us, among all people. He steps down from heaven and becomes into our neighborhood, moves into our neighborhood for all people. for men, for women, for little boys, for little girls, no matter whether we're rich or poor, Jesus comes for all people and dwells among us. So we hear those words, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Sounds nice, doesn't it? Nice words. But when we're Plutoed, when we're divided, when we're feeling terrible, does it help? Do those words just help us? Does it really make a difference? It sounds like they belong on a Hallmark card, don't they? Did you get one of those, that Hallmark card that's had these words on it? It sounds like it could be a good Hallmark card. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Just nice words? No. More than just nice words. It says that Jesus is the only answer. Jesus is the answer for us Plutoed people, for us people who are divided, for us people who Satan is out to destroy. Jesus is the true answer, the only answer for us. This past summer, my truck wouldn't start. So like any other guy, I go out there 47 times and crank on the engine. Still doesn't start. So I, of course, pour a six-pack of beer over the hood. That didn't help. Yeah, can you believe that? It didn't start. So I moved a TV right in front of my truck and thought, okay, I'll turn on a good baseball game and see if that'll help. Still wouldn't start. So I bought the latest magazine of Hot Rod Magazine. It had some beautiful new hot rods in there. Showed it to my truck, said, hey, now you should start. Can you believe it didn't? It didn't start. It needed a new battery. That was the answer, was a battery. People try all kinds of things, don't they? To try and fill that void. To try and find the true answer. We'll try booze, we'll try baseball, we'll try beauties, we'll try all this other stuff. But really, the real answer is Jesus. The only answer for us Plutoed people is the Savior, is the one who dwells among us, that Jesus Christ. He is the only true answer. And he comes again to us this morning in the form of bread and wine. He comes to us with his true body and blood in with and under, that bread and that wine. He comes to us Plutoed people to revitalize us, to give us an electrical shock so we can go out in this world as Plutoed people and we can live. We can make it through another week. We can make it through another year as he comes to us to give us strength, to strengthen us in our faith. That's our loving God. That's the God who comes, who dwells among us. Amen. Shall we rise and pray together? Oh, gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for dwelling among us, for sending Jesus to be incarnate, to be one of us, to truly sympathize with us as we go through this life. We thank you for coming again in your meal to strengthen us and to revitalize our batteries, to charge us up for another year. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.